Doesn't feel like 1,000 years. Yeah, it's so great to be with you. And I know some amazing words have come already, but when I was praying for Explore Life Church, I just kept getting the phrase Church Street. You know, like in the early settlements where a church was built and then the whole street got named after the church. And I was looking up, what's the significance of that, of the church in early settlements? It was an anchor around which the town grew. It was a symbol of permanence, pioneers coming in and putting down roots, and receive this as Explore Life. It was a physical refuge during times of crisis where people would come into the church, and it provided identity. And I just have such a sense that Explore Life is such a solid base with its own identity, its own Jesus-given identity already. And I almost want to say, and I don't know who's who, but if there's someone here who you've been visiting, I don't mean you're an actual visitor today, I mean like coming for a week and then not for a few weeks and then and kind of for months. If you want a greater depth and consistency and stability in your walk with God, anchor yourself to this church. God has given this church leaders who are solid, who are dependable, who are trustworthy, who you can trust to follow, like a real gift to his bride. And then Church Street develops streets going off it and streets coming into it. And as much as it's been prophesied, God's going to add to your numbers. I feel like God says, don't forget that streets lead from Explore Life as well. And that doesn't mean everyone's going to scatter far and wide, but I feel like even with the equip, God has established something of a stake in Alberta through it. And this church was established on pioneering. And God is almost like wanting to awaken something or a bit more of that. As we were driving to church this morning, we passed Pioneer Cemetery. I was like, oh, no, God. And then a little bit further on, I didn't catch what it was, but it was Glowing Embers something, Glowing Embers Park. Is it an RV park? Okay, well, there we go. God is blowing on the embers of pioneering. He is going to do things through Explore Church. He is going to be establishing more and more of his pioneering heart in Alberta.
No, Jenny. Come on, I thought you guys were on the edge.
I know I said it last night, but just want to say it again. Explore Life, you guys did outstandingly well this week. You really did. You would never have guessed this was the first Alberta Equip. It ran so smoothly, it ticked through. I know Russ got older by about 15 years, but that's a Russ problem. The rest of us had a great time. But really, you guys should be proud of yourselves. Yeah, I know we say pride's a bad thing, but guys, you should be proud of yourselves. You did. I just want to commend you on what work you put in this week. Great job. Well done. And it's going to amplify, right? So you've set the bar, and now we're going to go up, right? We said something like 5 years is going to be 20,000 or something. I can't remember the time frame we put on it. So there's work coming, guys. You better get some more recruits in you. Just in preparing for this morning, I just felt a few things, and I'm glad some of these prophetic words have come out this morning, because it's just kind of helped settle that, yeah, we're this is the right one. You know, in Genesis, the Lord's talking to Abraham, and it says Abraham was in his tent, and the Lord was talking to him there. And the Lord says to Abraham, listen, let's go outside the tent. It says the Lord took him out the tent in Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6, and he says, look up at the stars. That's your inheritance. It's going to be even greater than that. And you know, sometimes we look at things and we look at our restrictions that we've put in place. God wants to explore life. God's got great plans. I know He's spoken plenty of prophetic words to you guys. It's in your name to explore, to go out, to go and be discovering things. The Lord wants to take you outside the tent this morning and just remind you of this great inheritance that He has for you guys. God's spoken promises, but I think there's a season coming. If it's not now, it's soon, where He's going to show you not just the great inheritance. He wants to take you further into that inheritance. All right, guys, you've done a good job. We're here. We've set this base. It's time to move on from this degree of glory to the next degree of glory. He's going to take you guys through a season of expansion and growth, not just in numbers, but in capacity, in impact, in influence in this area, but not just in this area, beyond. Judas said some of the roads are going away. I think there's going to be more roads going away as your impact increases further into the inheritance you got. And God's going to be giving you new strategies in how to move from this into the next season. Because you had strategies that brought you into here, and He's going to change some of those to get you into the next, because the next is a little bit different. It's going to require a different approach in some areas. So that means we've got to hold on to some things with an open hand and allow God to adjust, which is not always easy, especially if you like the way something's been working. You think, this is smooth, don't touch this, Lord. It's working now. It took me a long time to get it to this place. Yeah, and now that you've got it to that place, you're ready to go on to the next level. And that next level is going to require some adjustments. So God's going to challenge some of your flexibility. Some of the things, and I was praying, Lord, okay, you know, there's always keys that help us move from here to there. And I was asking the Lord, all right, so what are we going to speak about? What are some of these things that are going to help explore life? And I felt the Lord say there's a few things you're going to be tested in. And your ability to stand on a few things is going to be tested in your moving from here to there. Now, me, I'm not a guy that likes to stand and do nothing. Right? Let's keep moving. Let's keep going forward. There's always more, there's something new, there's more inheritance, there's places people haven't gone, let's go there, let's go I hate standing around so much, I don't even like putting fuel in my car. Man, that light comes on, and then I know you've got about 90, 100 Ks, then it starts flashing, and I'm like, I've still got at least 40 Ks to go. And then the car's making sounds, you know. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I've got no choice now. Stupid thing. And then I kick myself because I waited so long. Now I have to stand there even longer. Like, oh, man. And you're watching all the traffic go by. You just feel like life is going by and you're just stuck in this doldrum of nothingness. It's terrible. So I hate it. So when the Lord says stand, I'm like, oh no, man. Seriously, Lord. Can't we just do something rather? I don't know, maybe it's PTSD from the army, because you do that a lot. They call it the hurry up and wait. They chase you to some place 2 hours before you need to be there, and then you're standing around like, well, come on, man. We could have been doing something productive. Now we've got to stand around. So maybe it's PTSD from that, I don't know. But I hate it. But the Lord challenged me on this one day. There's some things where you have to stand. And so, okay, Lord, I guess I better look at this standing thing. And there's a few things. He highlighted quite a few points, way too many for my liking. But there's a few of those that I want to share with you this morning, because I feel like they're going to be keys in helping you guys move from here to there. It's going to help you move from this degree of glory to the next, from this part of your inheritance further in. The first one I want to look at is out of Jeremiah 6:16. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads. Oh, my heart sinks already. It's a crossroads and I have to stand around. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your soul. Now, when God's doing something corporately, you often find that these things happen in our individual lives, in our families, in other. Because you're part of this body, it seems to impact more. And to hear, Peter, you guys, God's got more. And Sue said with a few people, God's got expansion, God's got more coming. So maybe you too are going to be tested in some of these things. And one of them, when we're faced with a choice, when you're at a crossroad, you've got a choice. Am I going left? Am I going right? If you're like me, you're probably just guessing one to get on the go because you don't want to park off there wasting time. There will always be a shortcut across later, I'm sure. Not always, but we'll figure it out. But what the Lord is saying is when you're at that crossroads, stand there and wait. Ask him which is the good way to go. Don't move until you've heard from him. And when he tells you to the right, then you go. And you don't stop going. You've heard him, you go. You might go to the right and you're like, whoa, this road is terrible. But if he said go, go. He's going to get you through, don't worry. This road's flooded. Well, then great. Get out your water wings. He's going to get you through. But your ability to walk that road is going to be greater because you've heard the voice of the Lord. If you haven't heard the voice of the Lord and that road gets rocky, you're going to start doubting. Have we made the right call? Maybe we need to back out of this. We've wandered down an alley that's not so good. But if you've heard the voice of the Lord, you're going to stick it out. You're like, hey, Lord, you sent us down some weird road here. But you're going to still be at peace about it. Doesn't matter how crazy things get because you've heard the voice of the Lord. See, God knows everything. We keep saying God's all-knowing. God knows everything. And I hear people, God knows everything. God knows everything. But then they never ask him before they make a decision. Like, why didn't you pray about this? And they make big decisions. Change jobs, change careers, move places. Without asking the Lord, is this a good thing? And then they go down, things go down in flames of glory, and then they come back. You're like, you could have avoided all of this. If you just asked the Lord first and waited for him to answer. And I think there's going to come times with Explore Life where you're going to be faced with a choice. Guys, God's spoken to us. He wants us to move in this direction. We can go this way or we can go this way. Don't make that decision quickly without hearing from the Lord. Lord, what is the right way to go? Because some ways can look, this is great, this road leads in this direction, and this is what the Lord has said. So obviously we must go down here. Maybe the obvious choice isn't always the right choice. And that detours you, and you're taking the scenic route back to the plans of God. Let's avoid the scenic routes. He is the head of this body. And he cares very much about what goes on in this body. He doesn't want bad things happening to this body. So let's trust him to take this body in the right way. Down the good path. Where we will find rest for our souls. Not wonder what the heck is going on here. And have to find our way back again. I mean, we often say, Jesus is the head of the body because that's what the Bible says. So if he's the head, then we should be asking him everything. All of our instructions should be coming from him. All of them. So let's ask him. If you've got a part of your body that does things without your brain telling it to do, you go and see a doctor. It's wrong. It's just wrong. But as the church, who is like the body of Christ, when you got a group that want to go off and do their own thing, twitching out here on the side, man, we got to fix it. Or whatever group you are involved in the life of Explore Life, or whatever church you're here with, we should all be getting our instructions from the Lord so that the body can walk in unity like a healthy body. The church see us, they see Jesus. Let's be a good representation of Jesus by getting all our instructions from him. Not looking weird, twitchy things all over the place. Jesus loves us. He wants good things for us. He's not going to send us down the bad roads. He's going to send us down good roads. So let's ask him before we do things. Whatever you might be leading a small group in the church. I hope you're not just checking online what's good things to do for your group to entertain them. Ask the Lord. Be intentional. If everybody's being intentional, hearing from the Lord, moving where he's telling us, you're going to walk into your inheritance quicker. With much less trouble. This stand at the crossroads is a determined stand. It's not the standing waiting for the fuel to get in the car. This is a waste of time. It's a, Lord, I refuse to move from here until I've heard your voice. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what pressure comes my way. I refuse to move until I've heard your voice. I'm not making a choice without hearing your voice first. Let me say, sometimes you get good choices that come your way. And you're like, this is obviously the right thing to do. I am not moving until the Lord has spoken. Learn that lesson this way. Take it on board rather than have to learn it the hard way. I did that once. I was like, never again. Those were terrible school fees. You know, school fees, you pay for your lesson. It cost me a couple of years was my school fees. I love sport. I play as much of it as I can. And I was working with a fire, bless you. I was working with a fireplace company, doing all right. And then some guy came along and said, man, I want you to sell sporting equipment. I'm giving you 3 times your salary. I'm like, the Lord loves me. I was at this place 2 weeks and the sheriff of the court was there. I asked him, what are you doing here? He says, no, this guy owes a lot of money. I'm evaluating his stuff. I'm like, oh my word, what have I done? It sent me down a detour that took me a couple of years to get my way back. And then I was back in the fireplace business. I'm like, oh, well, I guess we're back with fireplaces and barbecues. And they stayed there for a good 15 years, but it cost me like a 3-year detour doing stupid things, you know. Like, if I just asked the Lord first, I could have avoided all of that. So later when there's opportunity, we're like, oh, I've been to church planters. Lord's called us to lead a church. We're going to plant. We're going to whatever. And opportunity came up. We'd like you guys to transition this church. Natural thinking is, we've been waiting for this moment. God's been speaking. But I learned I paid my school fees. I'm not paying my school fees again. We're not doing this until we've heard from the Lord. And we wait and we prayed and we fasted and we do all of those things. And then I've heard the Lord clearly, no, these are not your sheep. A little disappointing, but I heard the voice of the Lord. We prayed. We're like, yes, God is saying no. So then people complain, that's fine. But we could stand on the Lord's word. He said, no, there's something different. He's got ahead for us. And that was coming here. Well, not Edmonton, but Canada. A much better plan. So sometimes you might be faced with a good option. It doesn't mean it's the God option. It says, when you stand at the crossroads, look, be proactive. Ask God, God, I'm not moving. Pray, show me the right way, Lord. Give me some prophetic, give me some picture, give me some indication which is the right choice. Don't stand there, I've got a choice, okay, I'm going to hang around. No, be proactive. Stand at the crossroad and look. Ask Him. Abraham and Sarah didn't wait. They made their own plan. It didn't go so well. David often waited to hear from the Lord first. There were some battles that David had to fight, and I'm thinking, man, that's a no-brainer. Go fight. I mean, they were out to battle. They came back to their camp, and the Amalekites had come and raided their camp and took all their women and children and left. And they came back to an empty camp. They're like, this is a no-brainer. Let's go get them. But David said, wait, I'm going to seek the Lord first. I'm going to ask the Lord what we must do. I'm like, jeez, dude. I'm chasing those Amalekites down like there's no tomorrow. We got our women and children, come on, man. And some of our food too. They're not all on the same level of importance. But David waited and he said, I'm gonna wait, and then he goes back to his army. He said, I've spoken to the Lord. And the Lord told us He is going to hand these guys over to us. Now, can you imagine the courage? Now, those guys don't just have anger. They got courage. They got faith. The Lord has said, we're going to win this battle. So let's go. And then on the way, the Lord still provides them an Egyptian. He's also angry with the Amalekites. And says, I know exactly where this spot is. Let me take you there. So the Lord provides when you do things His way. He looks after you. He gives you what you need along the way. They were going where they thought they were. They find this Egyptian who's angry with them because they left him for dead. So he's got an axe to grind with them. He's like, I know exactly where this spot is. The Lord provides when you do things His way. Because He wants you to succeed. He didn't send you down this road and then, I hope you guys make it. I catch you on the other side. There he goes. I want you to make it. When you seek Him and you wait first, He gives you strategies. When David became king, the Philistines found out about it, so they came to attack him. So David goes and asks the Lord, Lord, must I fight these guys? Again, I'm like, obviously you must fight them. Yeah. David says, no, I'm going to pray first. I'm going to ask the Lord. The Lord says, yeah, fight them. I'm going to hand them over to you. So they smash the Philistines. And they run away. Short while later, the Philistines come back again. So they say to David, what must we do? I mean, the Lord's already told us to smash them. Let's just carry on. David says, no, wait. I'm going to ask the Lord first. Goes and asks the Lord. The Lord says, yeah, go fight them. But this time, we're changing the strategy. This time, He sent some guys up the right flank, He sent some guys up the left flank, and then we're going to attack them from the sides. You see, sometimes we miss out on the strategies of God because we haven't taken the time to ask Him. We default to what we've always been doing because we think we know how. We love formulas. And this formula worked the last time, so this formula is going to work again. God's a creative God. And He wants us to put our faith in Him. So let's ask Him and get those new strategies. He might tell you, yes, you're right, it is a no-brainer. Obviously, we've got to do this, but this time we're going to do it this way. He has a new way to do it. And God does things different way, a lot of it. I mean, like His healings. I'm like, man, if I were Jesus, I would, you know, He put too much effort in. It's like this guy, okay, you're blind, just be healed, you know? Next guy is spitting on the ground, making some mud, wiping the mud. You know, next time he's doing something different. Next time he's sticking his finger in a guy's ear. You know, it's just like the easiest thing to do is just, yeah, okay, be healed. But no, he does it different ways. Well, he wants to us to know it's not always the same time. We've got to ask him. Keep going back and asking him. What's the way that's going to bring the freedom this time? What's the key to victory this time? It's point one of four. Sure. We're in trouble, Russ. I'll email it. 2 hours. We got 2 hours. There we go. Some other stands. We're going to talk about one, yeah, standing in battle. Guys, there might be some battlefields that you're going to face and you're going to think we're in trouble. Ask God for the strategy, all right? And then stand on that battlefield. Don't get off the battlefield until he's finished. Don't step on unless he told you. There's people stepping on battlefields they were never meant to step onto. And then you're drained and beat up and ask the Lord why. And the Lord, well, you didn't ask me because I would have told you not to step on that battlefield. There's plenty of battles always inviting us in. Nothing more draining than being in a battle. And the enemy wants to wear us out. So he's inviting us into battles all the time. I ask the Lord, which battle must I step into? And then stay there until he brings you the victory. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, this is Jehoshaphat. The Lord says to Jehoshaphat, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Just because the Lord's going to give us the victory doesn't mean we get a free pass on the battle. I'd love a free pass on the battle. Lord, you told me we're going to win this thing anyway. Why must I go through the trouble of the battle? Get all smacked around. If the Lord has said you're going to win the battle, he didn't say you're going to skip the battle. I'd love to skip the battle. I mean, we spoke last night about those 300. They still had to go and do their thing with their torches and their trumpets. The Lord didn't say, okay, I'm going to hand them over to you. Just, you know, give a blow in the morning. Let's see what happens. They still had to run. As if they're running into battle, they didn't know what the Lord is going to do. They just knew the Lord's going to give them the victory. They didn't get a free pass on running down the hill shouting like madmen. Jehoshaphat's guys didn't get a free pass on walking out into the battlefield. Not a good day to be a musician. We don't get free passes on the battle. Just because you're in a battle doesn't mean you made a bad decision. Just stand there until the Lord brings the victory. You know, the mighty men, they stood there. Yeah, this guy killed 800. This guy did 500. This guy, yeah. And sometimes they did it on their own because the army had fled in fear. Then they stood their ground. And every time it says the Lord brought about the victory. If the Lord's put you on that battlefield, you stand there until he brings the victory. I don't care how terrible the odds look. I don't care how messy that battlefield is getting. You stand there until the Lord's brought victory. You're going to be challenged in this. And I'm not wanting to say this in a bad way, but we're all going to face battles anyway. But if you're going to move from here to there, your ability to stand on the battlefield until the Lord brings the victory is going to be tested. Your ability to stick it out to the end and until you can celebrate is going to be tested. When I'm on the battlefield, I like to think of David and Goliath, right? When he finished, he walked around showing everyone the head of the giant. It says it carried it around, he took it into his tent, he carried that head all the way back to Jerusalem. I'm like, I want to do that with a few giants. Check this out, you know.
Maybe some brains falling out of the bottom, you know, just.
Look at this victory the Lord brought about. Look at our size. Look at this guy was massive. But I didn't chicken out. I stood there until the Lord brought the victory. Now look at what victory looks like. Look at this big thing that was scaring everybody. Is now nothing is gone. Don't step off that battlefield until the Lord brings the victory. Your ability to stand firm will be tested. It's always tested when God takes you into bigger things and better things. Because the enemy doesn't want to see you expanding and growing. So he's going to oppose that. So you're going to have to stand firm on what God's saying. Stand firm in Jesus. If Jesus has said something, stand firm in it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 and 21 says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. The promises are yes and amen, but at all of that, we stand firm in Christ. Guys, don't let anything knock you off track. You stand firm in Jesus. If Jesus has said it's going to happen, if things are rough, that's where your strength, that's your security, that's your shelter, that's your everything. You can be in the middle of the battlefield but still have a time of being next to the still waters because it's Jesus. It's like, yeah, you're in the midst of it, bud. Catch a breather. All right, now get going again. First Thessalonians 3:7 to 9 says, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. It's like you guys have been, you've been under persecution, you guys have had a tough time, but you know what? Now we really live. You guys are standing firm. It's an excitement in Paul. Like, you guys managed to stand firm in the Lord. Awesome. Now things are going out from you. Even better. Your ability to stand firm is going to be tested. Despite tough times, they stood firm on the promises of God. God, you've said there's more, and we're going to stand firm on that. You said this is the right road, we're going to stand firm on that. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. And when it comes to faith, there's a few different ways the Bible talks about standing firm. And when it uses different terminology, it makes me ask questions. I think when we read the Bible, when something sticks out to us, it's an invitation of the Lord to come and dig deeper. It's the Holy Spirit making you, showing you something and saying, there's some treasure in here if you're prepared to dig a little bit. So when I'm reading through and something seems like a bit weird to me, I dig, because most often there's a treasure in there, and it's the Holy Spirit highlighting that to you. So when it comes to standing firm in faith, it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16. Isaiah 7:9 says, if you do not stand firm in your faith. Romans 11:20 says, stand by faith. We get stand in faith, we get stand by faith. Your faith is what you believe. Right? The Lord has spoken. And if he's spoken, I'm going to stand on that until it happens. And that gets tested. And if we're moving from one degree to the next, your ability to stand by faith is going to be tested. And if you don't stand firm in your faith, as it says in Isaiah 7, you're not going to stand. You're going to get pushed back to the season you were, so that you can get stronger and built up again, and then maybe you circle the mountain a few times, and then we're going to try this again. Beginning of Deuteronomy. Right, guys? You're already in the faith. Right, the Lord's spoken. He's going to give us this hill country. Then they go out, and they look at the people, and they're like, whoa, these guys are giants. And the Lord says, oh, okay, obviously you guys need to go and learn a few lessons again. Let's go back to the desert. And they're like, whoa, no, we don't want to go back to the desert. And the Lord said, I told you you're going back to the desert now. You didn't trust me. You obviously got to learn to trust me. Let's go back to the desert. That's what the desert was for. Humility and learn to trust the Lord. So they fought. They got smacked. And they decided the desert doesn't sound like a bad place anymore. Let's go back out there. Strengthen. And then they came back again. And they're like, yeah, we remember our school fees. We've paid them. Let's go and do this thing. And then the Lord brought victory. Your ability to stand firm in your faith. We look, you'll see giants, you'll see opposition, you'll see things that might scare you. Stand firm in your faith. And watch God do what only He can do. Stand firm by faith. This is the faith that enables you to do things. You do it, faith in pulls you through. By faith, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith that you stand firm. So you stand firm in faith, but it's that faith is enabling you to do so. It's faith that causes action. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive it as an inheritance, obeyed and went. It's the by faith that caused the obeying and the wenting. It's the faith that causes you to move. It's the faith that inspires you to keep going. The Lord said, so because He said, I now have the courage to move. Why are we going this way? Or by faith? Why are we expanding a building or getting a bigger place when we don't really have the resources for that? It's because we're going by faith. By faith, we're moving forward with this plan. We don't have the resources, but God's spoken, and we're moving by faith. And then when the times get tough, and you're like, oh, there's no money, we've got bills to pay, then you stand firm in faith. We're not backing out of this. We're standing firm until the Lord comes. We're not getting off this battlefield. You see the difference? The by faith got you to make the decision and move, and when the trouble, the faith is also the standing in. They got you strong enough to not budge off that field. The in faith is when we're standing, trusting God to come through. I'm not backing out. I refuse to go back that way. I'm waiting here until the Lord comes through. I'm going to leave it there. It's an interesting study to do by yourself. Don't cheat and ask me for notes. Do it yourself. But I felt that those ones were going to be key for Explore Life, moving into the next part of the inheritance God has for you. I feel like there really is that shift and that change that's coming, and these things are going to help you get there. Every time you're faced with a decision, wait at the crossroads until the Lord speaks. But when He's spoken, You get to do the in the faith and by the faith things. Because you've got something to stand on and hold on to. His word. If you don't, you're going to struggle to stand. And don't get off battlefields unless he's brought the victory. Don't get on battlefields unless he said so. The shifting in seasons, there's always battles that you're invited into to distract you, to wear you out, to give you the lack of resources even more to get further. You protect that by asking, Lord, which battles am I step into? Joshua, when they had done the Jericho thing and they were moving, the fame of the Lord had spread, the Gibeonites came and pulled a fast one on them, made them think they were from a place far away. But when you read it, it says, but Joshua and the leaders of Israel did not inquire of the Lord. And they made a deal with the Gibeonites. The reason for that bad decision, the clearly laid out, they did not inquire of the Lord. And that decision brought them into a battle that God never intended for them to fight. In fact, that battle was so big, that was the battle where Joshua said to the sun, stand still. That's how big that battle was. And God didn't intend for them to get stuck in that battle. But that bad decision put them in a position where they had to now fight something. Guys, standing and waiting for the Lord can save you a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache. In your personal lives, in your marriages, in your families, wait to hear from the Lord before making big decisions, even small ones. Lord, I just want to lift Explore Life and some of the other churches represented here. Lord, anybody who has some dreams that they've put on hold, I ask, Lord, you come and breathe your life back into those again. Lord, those that have been in the tent so long, they forgot what the stars look like. Lord, that they respond to your invitation to come out and have a look at the stars again, so that they can start moving further into the things you've got for them, Lord. Grabbing hold of some of that inheritance, grabbing hold of some of those promises, and just moving forward in your kingdom from one degree of glory to the next, Lord. Those that have stepped off battlefields and given up on promises and saying that promise is obviously not for me because of this battle I can't get through. Lord, that they'll step back onto the field you've called them to step onto and step off fields you've called them not to be on. And that as they seek your face on it, Lord, you give them the keys and the strategies to win that battle. So that they too can walk around with giant's heads and celebrate the great victory you've brought around. Lord, those facing tests here, wondering, what should I do? Lord, you'd give them your word to stand on. They'd hear your voice, so that they can stand firm and not back out. So they can stand firm, weather the storm, and get further into the promises on the other side of that storm, Lord. And Lord, those that may be stuck on a battlefield, crying out, Lord, what must I do that they hear your voice this morning even, Lord? Just even hearing your voice to know that they're not there alone, that you see them on that battlefield, is already enough to keep the fight going. But I pray that they not only hear your voice saying that you're with them, they hear your voice giving them the strategy to win this thing and claim the further ground that you have for them. And Lord, as Explore Life move forward, I pray, Lord, that not just the leaders, you speak to everybody, as we heard yesterday, the entire bomb squad, who will be hearing your voice. So that when the call is made, we're moving down the left-hand side of the crossroad, it's a shout of joy because we've all heard your voice. and run down that road with conviction. And the leaders here, Lord, I ask you to give them great wisdom and insight, and even greater clarity when it comes to hearing your voice. It's an incredible responsibility to lead your people. But Lord, let them hear your voice so that your body can move together in unison. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, as you guys, thank you for the privilege.